Guys, this podcast is for you. If you are a guy looking for a great relationship, we got a great show in store for you today. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner. Today we're going to be talking about how to attract an amazing woman. But before we get started, I got a free gift for you. How many of you are making tons and tons of marketing mistakes in your business? Well, I've got a free little guide for you. Top 10 marketing mistakes and how to avoid them. Just go to my website, robertimbrielli.com/top 10. And you can download that ebook for free right now. All right. I promise you something good. You know, oftentimes I do these webcasts or podcasts, if you will, and I'm talking about marketing for coaches, but sometimes it's fun to actually have a coach in studio and to be able to talk about something that coach does. Nothing makes me happier sometimes than doing that. And today, oh boy, we've got a great guest. I'm so excited to have her here. Katia Monrovia.
Morozova.
I'm going to get it right. I'm going to have to keep saying it again. Okay. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi is right. Thank you for coming out here and joining us today at
Thank you for having me in studio. Yeah, this is so much fun.
You know, we should tell the story real quickly. The power of Facebook, right, is really interesting.
Thank you.
Because we connected on Facebook 2 days ago?
Yes.
3 days ago?
Basically.
So, yeah. I guess, did I send you a friend request?
You sent me a friend request, and also, like, the power of saying hello, because I'm pretty sure I said hello to you.
You did,
because I say hello to everyone who adds me.
And not everyone, responds to that.
Yes, most people don't. Yeah.
So, yeah, we connected on Facebook, she said hello, I said, I looked at her profile, I always look at people's profile, and what I do, actually, I'll be honest with you, what I do before I send out a friend request to anyone, I always look for videos.
You do?
Always look for
videos. On their page?
On their page.
Okay.
And the reason that I do that is because that's how you get to know people. Mm. Not necessarily by what they're posting, the still photos and stuff. It's like I really want to get to know a person's personality. And so your personality, you came across as very genuine, very real, very authentic, very articulate. And I'm like, oh, this is a cool person. And I looked at, oh, you're Tony Robbins trained. Okay, you're part of my posse now.
Totally. It's amazing how that works.
It does.
We just find each other's tribes.
Yeah,
and so we
how you doing? How's your summer going? And she's like, oh, I'm down here in Encinitas. So I'm like, Encinitas? She's 2 exits from here. I said, you got to come by.
Well, actually, what happened was, and I was thinking how interesting this was, I made a video. It was like sunset, and I was doing a Facebook Live on my channel, and then you realized that I was in Encinitas because you saw my video.
You know, I didn't know the video was done in Encinitas, but I think when you mentioned when you texted back, you told me you were in Encinitas. I'm like, oh, you're right here. And it's like, and here's the cool thing. I always look for people that are ambitious, right? So you want to bring somebody onto your podcast. You're going to spend time in the studio. It took me a couple hours to get everything here set up this morning. I'll give you a little behind the scenes here if you want to look at what the studio really looks like when you're looking from behind the scenes. There's just a lot of stuff, right? It's a very busy setup. So a couple hours to set it up. You're going to spend, at least an hour, maybe 2 hours hanging out with your guest. You want to make sure it's somebody that you really, really like. And
totally.
One thing that really sparked me about you was that you said yes to coming in for an interview yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So a lot of people will say, yeah, I'd like to come for an interview. How about we do it next September? And I always think, well, what's the difference if you're right here? Why not do it now? Why not change your plans a little bit if you need to come in and do it? So you impressed me with that. So congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it sounded like fun.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. I get to go do an interview?
You do.
Awesome.
And it is a lot of fun. And so here we are. And we're going to be talking today about a topic that I think probably needs to be addressed a little bit more.
I hope so.
It's not being addressed enough, I think, out there in the coaching world. So coaches, if you're listening, we need more relationship coaches out there for sure.
Yes.
So Katia is a dating and relationship coach. And I thought it was really fascinating looking at her bio and looking at her background. Then we spoke a little bit before we went on camera and learning a little bit more about her and what she does and her background. She mostly works with men. Surprise, surprise. I mostly work with women. Surprise there too, right? And
perfect.
What's really interesting is that she helps men attract great women. And, men who've been in relationships, for instance, maybe it's been a while, maybe you're married, maybe you got divorced, maybe you're back out in the dating field again and say, okay, now what do I do? Because it's changed.
Yeah.
It is totally. Social media has completely changed the dating game.
Yes. That's, oh my gosh. It's so true. It's so true. And I work predominantly with men who are in their 40s, their 50s, you know, so they've been through a series of relationships. They've probably been divorced sometimes multiple times. And wow. Getting back out there again is different. Like if you have been married for 20 years and all of a sudden you're single and there's a thing called dating apps, you know, it's like, what's that? And how do I navigate that? It's an entirely new space. And I think it's really, really frustrating for many people. So I like to help them, you know, I like to help them both with the, as I like to say, the practical stuff, like how do you actually date in the real world? And then also like, well, what's happening inside? Why is it that you've been divorced a couple of times? Why is it that you haven't had a relationship that that's really worked, yeah. you know? So people usually come to me thinking that they want to learn how to online date, and then they realize, well, maybe it's a little bit more than that.
It has to be more than that, because the technology is now in our faces, which it wasn't, you know, earlier in years, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that didn't exist. Yeah. You know, you're not swiping right, swiping left. It's like, what is this? This is something completely foreign.
Yeah.
To a lot of people.
Yeah, and it takes the, how do I say this? It takes the personality out of dating, right? Because you're meeting strangers that you would have never met. Like in an kind of 30 years ago, it would have never happened. You wouldn't have met someone this across the country or even across town. So it's just, and you take, as I like to say, like you're taking all the sensory input that happens when, you know, we're sitting across from each other, you're taking that out and then expecting the same type of connection, you know? And so people are going to write you off, right? They're going to ignore you. And that's a really weird thing for people. You know, it feels cold. It feels harsh. It's an entirely, you know, and I think people in their 20s, they're like, oh, okay, well, this is the thing that you do. Like, they just get it, you know? But for people in their 40s and 50s who have never tried online dating, who have never even maybe, how do I say this? Like, they've never serial dated, you know, which is a much more common feature in today's dating lives, right? It's a new thing. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come naturally to people. You know, no one teaches you. It's not hardwired into our biology that we're going to know how to...
You said it right when you said, you know, you're taking the feeling, the touch, the feeling, and really you're diminishing the communication model down to its bare bones, text.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like there's no emotion in that. And how are you going to get to know somebody? And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but high-speed rejection. Right?
Yes.
So you look at a photo, you're judging that photo. That may be the perfect person. On to the next one.
Yeah. And so, and that's, you know, one of the things that I teach is I help people to have the appropriate photos on their profile. I will write a profile for them. I'll teach them how to message because, hi, how are you, isn't really going to cut it online, you know? And I know that feels really weird. It's like, well, why not? Because if I was in a bar or if I was in a coffee shop or if I was anywhere, I might say that. But online, you can't roll like that because women, especially attractive women, are getting dozens and dozens of messages and a lot of them say the same thing. So you have to stand out. You have to make an impression. And then that rejection piece that you mentioned, oh my goodness. This is, no one learns how to deal with rejection, especially when it comes to intimacy.
Oh yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, you know, and oftentimes, because all my clients are professional men. I work with doctors, I work with attorneys, I work with programmers. And so, and they're highly successful. So I know that they deal with rejection on a daily basis. They had to have dealt with rejection to get to where they are now. But that piece has been missing for them when it comes to women. It's something that they weren't, they're not accustomed to. They don't know how to deal with it. It's very trying. It's very painful, you know, and especially if you have had a partner for 20 years, you know, you haven't been out there. You haven't been socializing. You've been in your kind of cocoon. And
well, it's a different phase of life.
Yeah.
Right. So you're in the dating phase when you're in your early 20s and you meet someone, then you get into relationship and marriage, and it's just a very different experience than now you're back at the beginning again. You're starting all over again.
Yeah.
You know, it's and it is very daunting.
Yes.
Because the game has changed so much. It's no longer, hey, go to a bar and see if someone you like over there.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the things that I think people don't realize that's happening underneath the surface when they start dating again is they don't realize that they're bringing so much of the past with them into their dating life, into their relationships. They are, how do I say this? Like, I had someone reach out to me recently. We've never even worked together. He just follows my stuff online. And he was like, I took your advice. You were telling us to either commit to dating or to not. Like, either commit or be completely out, but don't do the half-ass dating thing. And so people don't realize that they're coming into, like, dating with this, yeah, kind of passive, kind of like, okay, you know, maybe they get rejected and they get kind of butt hurt. And so they're not putting themselves out there and they're not putting themselves in the game. And that impacts how you come across, you know, what you're carrying with you from the past, as well as, you know, how you approach dating, how present you are, how engaged you are. All of that impacts the kind of response you're going to get.
So let's start from the beginning then, because if there's a guy out there watching this and saying, okay, you know, I fit the mold, you know, I've been in a long-term relationship, now I'm out, now I want to get back into dating. So let's start at the beginning. Where do you start? Profile? Do you go onto the dating sites? Do you go get some professional photos taken? Mm-hmm, what are the steps that they should be taking? Should they be doing some internal work even before all of that?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So one of the things I like to tell people before I take them on as a client is I'm going to give you a bunch of steps to do, right? Like, I'm going to build an online profile for you. I'm going to, you know, curate your photo selection. I'm going to help you message women online. We're going to take these steps, and men get really excited about these concrete, simple steps. And I also, you know, tell them, but, and this is a big but, if you don't do the inner work, if you don't focus on your, you know, what's your self-worth doing when it comes to women? You know, are you putting your best self forward? How's the rest of your life working out right now? Are you happy? Are you stressed out? Are you, do you have a lot of other close, intimate relationships and friendships? That is the foundation of my work with people, is they come to me for one thing and they get that and they get something more entirely, which is they start to realize, like, wow, I'm not really honoring myself with women. Every time I'm put in front of a really attractive woman, I start to shrink myself. You know, it's like, okay, well, what's that about? Why is that happening?
And we could write books on why that's happening.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
There's so many issues there.
Yeah. And one of my clients right now, he's like, we're a couple of months in. He's like, I want to know how to love myself. And I'm like, that's a great freaking question. Like, thank you for asking me that question, because that's where, you know, that's where the juice of our work is. The more you can focus on yourself, the more that you can be happy, content, secure in your own skin, the more you're going to attract an amazing woman. Because frankly, women love working on that stuff. Like, great women love working on themselves. They've, you know, been to therapy, done coaching. They know who they are. They're successful and they know who they are, which is like a new combination that women, really prized women have in the world. And so men don't realize, and especially men who are successful, they don't really like to admit that, you know, they've got some self-worth and self-esteem issues happening when it comes to women, right? So that's one of the first things, is actually letting go of your ego and learning how to ask for help, learning how to ask for support. So I would say that's step number one, is saying, hey, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing. I keep doing the same thing over and over again and continue getting the results that I don't want. Yeah.
Well, it's the point of attraction, right? So if you're showing up a certain way and you've got a certain set of baggage and a certain set of beliefs and values, and so you're showing up this way, and then there's going to be a group of women who are going to be attracted to that. And it's always the same woman. One may have blonde hair, one may have red hair, you know what I mean? But it's always the same woman. It's over and over again. I see it a lot with the clients I work with as well. So yeah, changing yourself and then showing up differently is going to give you a different outcome.
Yes, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's the first thing that I work on with people. And also, you know, one of the big things that I focus on is someone's attraction, what I call an attraction blueprint. So what is it that you keep attracting into your life? And like, what's the pattern? What's the, I don't want to say obsession, but what's the kind of covert obsession that you have? And so I work with a lot of men who, you know, would, I guess, fall into the nice guy category. Like, they are really successful and know how to ask for what they want when it comes to their careers. But when it comes to women, they don't. It's like this block, which, of course, you know, we're not going to get too deep into this, but that comes from your childhood. And so,
But you can go there. You can give them that piece, because that piece is an important one. And I'm finding more and more coaches are starting to recognize this, that they've got to look beyond the current situation. You've got to go all the way back and look at where the root of some of this stuff is to be able to resolve it.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid of that one, because I think that one's what makes you different.
Yeah.
That you're able to do that. You're able to look that far back and say, okay, you know, this is going on here today at your as an adult, but really, it started way back here.
Yeah.
And it's the same pattern playing out. Looks different, but it's the same pattern.
Yeah, so
good stuff.
Totally. And that's one of the biggest pieces that I work on is, okay, well, why is it that you feel like you have to give all of yourself before someone gives you even, like, you know, like a crumb? Like, what is that about? And why is it that you have to take a woman on all of these elaborate dates before you even know her? Why do you have to ask her 3 or 4 times, you know, to kind of go out with you before she kind of leans into the relationship? Like, what's happening there? What is that about? So one of the things that I teach men is actually how to lean back in the relationship, how to ask for what they want, what they need. You know, I can't tell you how many clients I've had that they're like, I don't know what I need. You know, I don't know what I want. And that's such a big discovery for them, to actually discover that they have needs, they have wants, they have desires. And that's the big starting point for when they can own that, they can start to attract a different type of person.
Well, that's the little child, the little kid who can't speak yet,
yeah.
Right? All the kid can do is cry. And he has needs, but how does he ask to get those needs met? Throw a temper tantrum, throw things across the room, cry, yell, scream, you know, whatever. And
what happens?
As adults, if you don't learn, then you still have those patterns going on, and they come out as anger, they come out as, you know, ignoring, or, you know, whatever
right.
is playing out in the adult, but it's that same pattern, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
because if you are a child and you're screaming and your mom doesn't come, right? It's like, okay, you keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, or you act like the good boy. You're like, okay, I won't have needs, right? Like, I won't have needs, and I'm just going to cater to your needs,
right.
You know? And then that just stays with you because that's what
I won't have needs because they're not going to get met anyway.
Yeah.
So the best thing to do, the only way to survive, which is a survival strategy, is to ignore.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Just pretend they don't exist. And then you become an adult and you go, what are your needs? I don't know. What do you really want in life? I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever somebody tells me I want, I guess.
Yeah. Well, their identity is actually wrapped up in that other person. They think that by fulfilling this other person's needs, that their needs are being met. You know, they're tied into that other
right.
person. And so, you know, if they're currently in a relationship, they have to separate those two things out. This person is over here. Like, one of the things that I find that a lot of my clients do is they'll try to predict someone else's needs before that other person tells them, you know, and
that could either work or get you in trouble, right?
Well, yeah, again, the problem is that if you're constantly doing that, if you are... if you are supposed to be right here, but you're meeting someone over here, right, like in their lane, then you're also training someone how the relationship is going to go. So if eventually you kind of like ease up, right, then that person is like, well, wait a second, but you already trained me that this is what I can expect from you. So, you know, that's one of the reasons that I love working on the dating space, because it's such a pivotal time. It really sets the tone for the relationship. And so if you can enter into it from a place of power, if you can enter into it from a place of like, okay, here are my guidelines for relating. Here's who I am, and here's what I need, and here's what I want. You're setting a standard. You know, they say first impressions are
lasting, very much so.
Lasting, right? Yeah. And so a first impression in a relationship sets the tone for the rest of the relationship. So I love meeting people at that pivotal moment, because I get to catch them and go, okay, well, hold on. Let's hold on for 1 second. Let's see if we can try this differently, because it doesn't feel like that's worked for you in the past. Yeah, that's really cool. I really love giving people that gift, because it's those things that happen in those first few months, those 6 months, that first year, that then if you can do that right, you can really create the right agreements in a relationship. You can create a give and take dynamic that feels really equal. Mm-hmm. You can create the kind of communication that you're going to have, how open you can be, how honest you can be. It's profound, right? Because, yeah.
Yeah, and in a way, what you're saying is I'm gonna take all these ingredients and we're gonna make the perfect cake. And we're gonna put this much flour, this much sugar, this many eggs, we're gonna go through the whole process, and the relationship really isn't that much different. And you're saying, let's just put the correct ingredients and the correct amounts in there, and then we'll end up with the perfect cake or the perfect relationship.
Right, and then we don't have to make like a billion cakes.
Right, or you know, worse, try to fix it.
Yes, you know, well, you can't fix a bad cake.
Well, more icing, more sugar.
Yeah, just douse it in icing.
And you see that in relationships too. They try to do that, and it doesn't work. It just gets worse if you don't fix the underlying problem, and you have the right idea of fixing it before it starts. Let's build it on a foundation that's solid, that's equal, that is caring, that is loving, that is open, and then when the other issues come up, we've always got that strong foundation to work from.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that's one of the pieces that I want to talk about, that a lot of, again, I work with a lot of successful men. They're, I don't want to say they're tough, but sometimes they have a little bit of a tough exterior, you know, and even though they're really giving, they're not really connected to their vulnerability, right? They're not, vulnerability is just not like in the vocabulary of most men. No one teaches a man how to be vulnerable.
How did you know that?
Huh?
How did you know that? Did we say that something to you? Did we tell you? Did we fill you in?
Well, you work with enough men, you kind of start to see the pattern. So, but yeah, this is such a... It's so interesting, because men actually feel just as much as women, and this is such a huge misnomer that men somehow don't feel. It's crazy. It's insane, right?
No, men are taught to ignore it. That's the difference. Women are not taught to ignore it. They can cry. They can do whatever. Men, you're not allowed to cry. You're not allowed. Yeah. So.
Exactly.
But we feel it just as much. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so. A man, you know, and there's this belief that women are typically the emotional compass in a relationship, but that's not necessarily true. You know, both people can bring emotion to the relationship. Both people can be a compass. And so I wanted to actually share a story, because there's so many pieces to the story that I love. I've had a client for some time now. And we've worked on so many different layers. And recently, he started dating this new woman. And he really created this safe space for her to say anything to him. And she... I'm going to go in the weeds on this story, so give me a second.
I hear this is going to be a good story, so yes.
Yeah, so there's just so many building blocks that we've had to like work up to this particular moment. So he met this woman, they're dating. She's a really cool chick, right? She, like, the stories that he shared with me about her, I could tell that she's pretty down. And so they're getting to know each other, and she kind of comes to him, and she goes, well, I don't really know you know all of these things about me. I don't really know who you are, you know, and I can't really get a feel for your identity and what's important to you. And so first thing.
That's a really good observation, by the way. Super. That early on in the relationship. Yes. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. And so I'll tell you what he did right in this situation. Okay. So the first thing that he did was he listened, right? He didn't go, what, you know, like, what am I doing wrong? How is this about me? Because we've been working about that, because it's not about you, right? You're good, you're fine, you're perfect. And like, what is it that she's teaching you? What does she have to share with you that could be useful and important? So he listened and he heard her and he was like, okay, I get it. Like, I understand what's happening here. They had a limited amount of time together. And so he was really trying to put the attention on her. So he's like, okay, she wants to know more about me. So he started sharing. So he adjusted, right? That's the second piece. He was able to adjust. He was able to not make this thing completely like, oh, like now I'm going to be crushed because of this feedback that she's giving me. She doesn't love me. She doesn't like me. She doesn't want to see me anymore. None of that stuff came up for him. So he was able to adjust. And when he adjusted, she then got this really great feel for who he was. He started sharing, which is something else that we've been working on, is how can you share in a vulnerable way? How can you really share yourself, what you're about, who you are, what are your interests, what lights you up, what inspires you? You know, again, most men are taught that they need to listen and that they only need to listen. So clearly a lot of that was actually coming up for him. And he was able to go, okay, cool. She's feeling heard. She's feeling seen. She wants to see me. And so the relationship completely turned around. They had a very passionate time together post these conversations. And I just really love this. Like at the end, again, she was traveling. She had to kind of go off. By the way, I had permission to share this story. And he said to her, he was like, okay, let's check in emotionally. I'm like, who says that? Who says that? My client says that because he's awesome. And he's not afraid to go there, right? He's not afraid to find out what is she going to say when I ask her that, right? So this is what I love. Like, I love giving people these building blocks so that they can, like, he's run with it. Like, he doesn't really need me anymore, almost. I mean, he doesn't really need me.
We won't tell him that, though.
We won't tell him that. We're almost done. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so.
Yeah, but now, no matter what, you have this story in your coaching practice when people say, well, you know, have you ever worked with anyone who, and you can share the story and, yeah, let me share with you how it works. What does it look like when it works the way it's supposed to work?
Yeah.
It's powerful.
And it's amazing because he's so sweet. He said, you know, I heard your voice in the background and I was like, what is Kati going to say when I ask her this question? Because I told him, I was like, I want you to start coaching yourself. And so throughout this whole situation, he just perfectly knew how to navigate it. He would call me and he would like report, right? Like, but he didn't ask me any questions. He was like, this is what's happening and I've got this. So I really, like, I profoundly love giving men that experience of I've got this in relationship, because they've got it everywhere else, right? But when it comes to relationships, it's like there's something here that I don't got this, right? Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go.
You and I had this conversation before. We went through school and we didn't learn anything about emotions. We also didn't learn anything about relationship, right? I took one college class. I'll tell you this story. I took one college class and it was about relationships. And the woman that was teaching the class was going through a divorce. She was in the man-hater phase. Everything he did was wrong, wrong, wrong. And this was the content of this course. And it was horrible. And I'm like, how am I going to graduate? How am I going to get through this course and actually, you know, get my grades up and be able to pass this thing when she is so anti-man? That's why you don't want the government to run your schools, by the way, because that was up in Canada, you know, government-run schools. And sometimes you get these people in there that really shouldn't be teaching. So I left that class and I'm like, okay, I took this class, I made my way through it, but I didn't really learn anything. And that was the only exposure to how to relationship, yeah. You know? And the question is, you've got all these men coming out of school with no experience, no exposure to it. So yeah. Then they need
a dating coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us more. This is good.
Well, what would you like to know? Oh my gosh, I could go in so many
okay,
different
well,
directions.
Let's go into the technology piece now, because that's the piece where I think older guys in their 40s and 50s are getting really tripped up.
Yeah,
because
okay,
it's not the
good.
Same anymore.
Thank
we're not
you.
Going to the school dance. We're not doing, you know, the things we used to do, and you're not meeting someone at a bookstore. Are there even bookstores anymore? You know, it's all online. It's texting. It's voice calls. It's profiles. Strange stuff.
Totally. So, okay, the technology piece.
Yeah, where do you want to start there?
All right. So, I mean, the technology piece is pretty simple, but again, that there's that not easy part. So, the first thing is, if you're dating online, then you want to... You don't say, hey, how are you? Or hi. I'm going to give you this big tip. You want to enter into the conversation like you're already mid-conversation. Let's say you met a woman at a bar, at a coffee shop, like you're talking with her for 5 minutes. You want to enter into the conversation there. And the reason that I tell guys to do this is because that's how you're going to grab someone's attention, right? That you're... one of the things that you can do is look at what is it in her profile.
It's awkward for the man to start that conversation. It's even more awkward for the woman to receive that conversation.
What do you mean by that?
Right. When you start, hey, how are you doing?
It's just
that awkward phase. And what you're saying is, let's just skip that. Let's go right here instead. Let's take this whole front end, the first paragraph of the book, we're going to throw it out, and we're going to start at paragraph number two. Your mic is popping up there a little bit. But... I like that a lot, and it's one thing that I've done this for years. People call me up, and I'll just be like, may have not talked in years, and all of a sudden, just right into the conversation, I dispense with all the, hey, how you doing? How you been? And just go right into it. And the reaction is always, after they speak with me for a little while, it's like, it feels like I've known you for 20 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're right about this. This is a really powerful tool.
Well, it's interesting that you said that, because even when you and I connected, one of the first things that you said to me was, you complimented me on how natural I was on video. And I felt that. Like, I felt like you were a human being saying something real to me, and that you had taken interest into who I was as a person.
Right.
And so that is the key. Like, if you're... I mean, this is the trick, and this is something that I focus on, is where is your mindset? Are you focusing on you? Are you worrying about how she's going to receive your communication? Are you worried? Are you double checking and typing your message over and over and over again, trying to figure out the right thing to say? Or are you focusing on her? Are you looking over there and going, that's an interesting hairstyle? Or, wow, she's got this beautiful blue blouse on. Or like, oh my God, is she at the Niagara Falls? Like, what is she doing? And like, what's happening over there with her? And so when you can take your attention off of yourself and put it over there, then you have access to that piece of entering into the conversation in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a really important piece to learn. I don't know if I ever figured out the best way to teach it, but it's something I've always done kind of naturally with that. And it's always, you always want to look for, you know, something unique, something different, something special, something that stands out. With women, from my perspective, women spend a lot of time on how they look, right? They'll spend a lot of time on their hair. They'll do their makeup. They'll spend an hour choosing the right pair of shoes. And when a man doesn't recognize that, it's a downer for the woman, I think.
Yeah.
You know, if the man can appreciate that and say, wow, I love what you do with your hair, or I love your makeup, or, you know, wow, look at the way you're dressed. And it's like, this is what's important to the woman. So you come over and you say, this is what's important to her. I'm going to focus there and pay attention there. And it makes a big difference.
Yes. Yes. I think the what we're kind of talking about is like being observant, being curious.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yes.
that's really the key. At the same time, there's, again, going back to like being grounded in what you're genuinely interested in. You know, what is it about, like, if you look inside, like there's some resonance when you look at a woman's picture, right? And you're like, oh, this makes me feel a certain way, right? Like, I'm really attracted to her. But most guys, like, I think most mature men, you know, yes, you're attracted to a beautiful woman. I totally get that. But there's something more, right? It's like, it's a smile, right? It's a twinkle in the eyes. Like, it's something unique, right? So if you can point out the unique thing that you're noticing that makes you feel a certain way, then I think that's a really good starting point for, and I mean, I've just given so
genuine.
Much away,
and
by
it's
the way.
Genuine. It has to be genuine.
It has
can't
to be genuine.
Flippant. It can't be my shoes, dude. You know, it's like, if you really appreciate that,
yeah.
then say it. If
exactly.
you don't really appreciate it, don't say it. Because they'll
exactly.
pick up on it. You know, we as human beings pick up on more than just the words. There's the energy behind the words. There's the inflection. There's the body language. All of that adds to that communication.
Yeah.
So if it's not genuine, like your videos, that's what stood out to me. Here's a woman who's genuine. She's on the beach and she's got the phone and she's talking into the phone like this. And it's like you have this connection. It's like I'm lying there on the beach with you. And it just, it had that feeling. And
totally.
It was like, wow, she's easy to connect with. You know, mm-hmm. and once you recognize that and it's like, oh, that's something cool. Okay, that impressed me. You know, when I always say I go look at people's videos first, not every video impresses me. Some of them do, some of them don't. Yours did.
Thank
right?
you.
And that's what you recognize and you say, wow, this is somebody who took a moment, found out who I was, found out what I was about. Some people reach out first. Don't do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't reach out first. Find out a little bit about it. I laugh when I interview people from Australia. They call it stalking. But in a you know, I'm going to stalk you on Facebook. Basically, what they're saying is I'm going to look you up on Facebook. But they use the word stalking differently than
yeah.
we do. And so that's one of the things you do is you say, okay, I'm going to look them up. I'm going to find out about them. You know, for me, I'm going to go watch a video and learn about them. Because I think the video tells me a lot more than just posts and texts. And
well, it's tough. So with dating apps, you don't have a video, right?
Not always,
you have
right.
most of the time, you don't have a video. And more, especially with, like, let's say if you're on Tinder, you're on Hinge, you're on Bumble, you literally have maybe like 100 characters to describe yourself. And she has the same, right? She has 100 characters to describe herself in like 5 pictures. So you really have to play, like, you know, detective.
Okay, you're just explaining this to me, and I'm saying this is this is set up to fail. How is this supposed to work? 100 words?
Yeah.
That's less than a tweet.
100 characters. I don't even think it's 100 words.
It's less than a tweet. A tweet is 240 characters now, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Okay, yeah, this is really high-speed dating. Or high-speed sorting, I should say.
Yeah.
You can sort through thousands of people quicker if you're only reading 100 characters.
Right. So this is where, like, photos really come in. Having really attractive photos of yourself is really powerful because if you're, again, if you're in your 40s and 50s, you're dating women in your 30s and 40s, right? Usually people love a 10-year age gap. And again, if the woman is really attractive, she's going to have a really unique photo selection.
Right.
She's going to expect the same thing from you. And so that's how you can stand out is, you know, you're really showing your personality as much like it's like a oh gosh, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like a resume, like a photo resume. You know, so if you like fishing, great. One of my clients, he had this amazing picture of him in a tank top. He's a great looking guy. And he was holding up this huge fish. And it was like the sweetest, most adorable thing. I was like, okay, is this your main profile picture? Because this is the thing.
This is the one, huh?
This is the one that you need to display.
<awesome.
laughs> So yeah. And gosh, what can I say about that? I think, like, curiosity is awesome, but again, like, don't lose yourself, right? Like, just have fun. That's the biggest thing. People look, they're like so serious and they're just like, oh, I gotta say the perfect thing and I'm gonna, you know, I'm
right,
gonna
but you
write
can't,
it.
You can't if you have 100 characters. So I'm assuming that the photos are gonna be the more important piece here.
The photos.
And the photos, you're talking about a photo resume. So you're talking about maybe a photo at work, photo at play, photo with friends, photo.
Yes.
Just to give sort of a, this is what my life looks like,
a quick
picture of my life.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can get you with that.
Yeah. That's not bad. Yeah. And then I was still talking about the messaging thing. I think mm-hmm. that's where we're. But yeah, I think this is where So I think I was talking about this earlier about you're either dating or you're not dating, but don't do anything in between. Don't do anything half-heartedly. Something, and I'm currently single and I'm dating right now. And so I notice if I am, if I'm online and I have any kind of like, I don't really want to do this, like, ugh, this sucks, or I'm not really feeling it, or maybe I'm feeling not attractive right now. And so I don't, like, if I'm not feeling like my best self, then I just stop. Because one of the things that's highly overlooked,
completely stop, like put the account on hold, stop, or just come back later.
Yeah, maybe I'll hold it, or maybe I'll just leave it and won't do anything with it. It depends. And so one of the things that isn't talked about with online dating, like, you can do all of the right things, right? You can have the great profile, the great photos, you know how to message, but the energy, like, people can feel your energy. Mm-hmm. So whatever energy you bring to it, it's going to be felt and experienced, and you're going to get a reciprocal result. And so coming back to the foundation of what we're talking about is, you know, how are you showing up to your dating life? Are you jazzed about it? Are you resentful? Are you excited, right? Are you like, oh man, I remember the last time this happened, and this means, you know, like, are you bringing your past dating life into the experience? So the more that you can approach dating with a clean slate, with a blank slate, the better your results are going to be. And this goes across the board, whether you're online dating or you have met someone and you're starting a new relationship. You want to bring that blank slate into it. Yeah.
This is good stuff. I'm really enjoying the conversation.
Me too.
Yeah. You're having fun?
I'm having a great time.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. I think that you brought up some good points there with the, you know, gosh, I'm still like 100 characters, really?
I know. I'm like, I can feel you're like stuck on that.
It's like, okay, all right, we're going to get past that because technology is what the technology is. Do you recommend any other ways of dating rather than using the technology today?
Ooh,
or is that
yes.
the key?
No.
Okay.
Well, okay, here's what I tell people. I always say do everything, because people come to me and they're like, I'm going to meet my partner offline. I don't really do the online dating thing. They say all kinds of things. And I'm like, okay, but what if? Like, what if your next match is like the person? So I am a big believer in just participate, like participate in life, participate in dating, know yourself. If you are not a very social person, well, you're either going to have to get out there or you're going to have to get online.
That's a good question then. So is online better for the person who's not really that social? The computer programmer, for instance, who hides behind the computer all day, not talking to anybody?
That, yes.
Is that a better tool for them versus the person who maybe is in network marketing and has a million friends and is out there the social butterfly type, you know?
It's really interesting that you're asking that, because I had a client who was very social, dated through his social network for years, had many relationships, was a very, you know, extroverted, out there kind of person. And he moved to a new city and he was like, okay, I've been talking to him about online dating for months, and he was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I was like, okay, great. So he got on OkCupid, and this woman reached out to him. She commented on what we co-created in his profile and said, that thing that you said, I like that. You know, whatever that was, I like, basically, like, she reached out to him first. They're now engaged. And so dating offline many years, gets online, meets his fiance. So that's why my biggest advice is that people stay open, because more and more today, we're closed off. We're closed off from possibility. We're closed off from opportunity. We're not just like out there, right? We're in our routine. We're in our, you know, 1 mile radius, especially if you live in Los Angeles. I will... I made it all the way to down to Encinitas, but typically I'm also within my 1 mile radius. But there's this reality, right? Like, we're kind of
the reality is we have more ways, literally, of communication today at our fingertips than at any time in history, and we're the most isolated populations ever walked the face of the earth.
Yes.
Fascinating. Very fascinating.
Yes, exactly.
And we think this little screen that we have in front of us, we're connected to the world, but are we really?
No.
No, not at all.
No. No, and that's one of the things that I think our phones make us. If you don't have ADHD, your phone will
we'll give it to you.
Exactly. We have shorter attention spans. You know, dating apps, the pitfalls of dating apps is because we have such a short attention spans, you literally can't take anything to heart, right? You just have to let it go because you have no idea what's going on in her world, right? Like, she might have just gotten out of a relationship. She might have deleted, you know, stopped looking at her app after 2 days, or like there's, so that's why I think that the biggest thing that people can do, like a no-fail strategy, is that you start to focus on having an open heart and an open mind about what's possible for yourself and your life, you know, and for yourself and relationship.
Okay, so then don't rely on the technology. The technology is simply a tool.
Yes.
Right. And going to a bookstore, going to a bar, going to a party with friends, going with all those things are just, you know, their means of getting to the same end.
Yes.
But don't rely on it, because right. It may work, it may not work.
Right.
There are a lot of, just as many people who say it doesn't work that say it does work.
Which, yeah, right? And again, I go back to there's all these things that you can do, and how are you doing them? How are you doing them? What's the energy that you're bringing to the right. things that you're doing? Yeah. Right, and that's what I focus on is like, again, I'll bring it back to the story that I was sharing earlier. You know, my client, he's in the coaching conversation. Like, you know, I work with people who are kind of half and half. So I work with people who have never done coaching, who have never experienced a coach, and people who have done a ton of work. And so he told me something great. He was like telling me the questions that he was asking this woman that he was dating. And so, I was like, wow, those are really great questions. I was like, what inspired you to ask these questions as you're getting to know this person? He was like, well, I figured I would just take the questions that you were asking me and start asking other people.
Good stuff.
I'm like, there you
go. He's learning.
That's it.
I love when they pay attention, huh?
Yeah.
Makes it fun.
Yeah. So, so that's the, you know, that's my secret underneath the. I don't believe in secrets. Trust me, I've tried all the secrets. You know what I mean? And I like to get away from all of that. There are no secrets to connection. Connection takes effort. It takes staying open. Okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about taking responsibility for your reality, right? Most people don't realize that the things that are happening out there are a reflection of what's happening inside. You know, they don't.
Now you're going deep. Now you're really going deep. Okay.
Yeah, which is, you know, one of the things that I really ask of from my clients on our very first call. I always say, okay, we have a few agreements that we have to that I want you to agree to. And the first one is, can you be responsible for your experience and our work together? And, you know, I didn't really think about this way, but if you can take this one agreement and put it into your dating life and into your relationships, you're going to have an incredible life. You're going to have incredible relationships. Yeah. That might be my favorite thing to talk
yeah,
about.
and like, well, you're giving away great content too, and everyone sitting at home watching this and or listening to this is hopefully taking some notes here. We got some good stuff.
Yeah.
You're sharing more than you probably thought you were going to share.
I'm sharing a lot more. You're a wonderful listener, so thank you for cultivating this space.
Well, thank you for being here. People who are watching and are saying, okay, Katya's amazing. How do I work with you? What do you offer?
Yeah,
tell me.
Fabulous. So you can go to my Facebook page. It's facebook.com/lovecoach. Is it at Love Coach? Oh. Thank you. Love Coach Katya.
It's on the screen right here.
It's on the screen.
Right here.
And if you go, you can actually apply for an attraction assessment session with me, where I'll get on the phone with you. We'll talk for an hour. I'll let you know exactly what's getting in the way of you attracting an amazing partner and what are the steps to attract that partner into your life.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. The assessment's free?
The assessment is free.
Okay.
Yeah. I give you an hour of my time. I'm super generous, but you do have to apply for it. So, yeah.
So you want the right people, and you want people who are serious and not people who are just going to take advantage. So I agree. That's a good idea to do. All right. Facebook.com. Love Coach Katya. And I want to thank you for being here today. This was fun.
This is so much fun.
And you're coming back, right?
I am coming back.
Okay, good.
Do you want me to come back?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Absolutely. And we'll let them also comment and let us know, too. They're probably going to give you a thumbs up all day long. We like the thumbs up, so if you are watching on Facebook or whatever, just give us the little thumbs up there. Always appreciate that.
We love the thumbs
up. We do. We do love it. And, we're going to come back. We're going to do this again for sure.
We are.
We're going to dig a little bit deeper. And what would be cool is to have maybe somebody on the line that you could coach live.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, I love that.
All right. So keep an eye out for that. We may do that. We may have someone call in and we do some live coaching right here on the Facebook
Ooh,
Live.
Ooh, that sounds
Ooh,
great.
Ooh, that could be fun.
Yeah. I'm big on that.
Awesome. All right, my friends. Thank you for watching. This is a little bit longer than normal, but good stuff. We'll talk to you all next week. Thanks so much.